This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Comedian Josh Gondelman earned the nickname the nicest man in comedy for his inherently decent and astute comedic style.
My life is wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. I'm in a wonderful long-term relationship, which is amazing. Because in 2016, if you're just dating casually, someone can break up with you simply by not texting back.
The nicest and maybe the luckiest, he might even tell you that. Comedy writing is part of both his day and his night jobs. Josh is a full-time comedy writer for the Emmy Award-winning HBO show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. He co-authored a book, You Blew It, and he co-created the infamous Seinfeld Today Twitter account. In addition to all of this, he also gets on stage to do his own stand-up, and he's going to be in North Carolina this weekend for performances at DSI Comedy Theater in Chapel Hill and the Mill Room in Asheville. But first, he joins me, Josh Gondelman. Welcome to State of Things.
Thank you so much for having me, Frank.
It's a pleasure. Let's talk about how you got that nickname. I guess Don Rickles you ain't, huh?
Even Don Rickles, though, is Mr. Warmth. Everybody,
loved
Don Rickles. I think you said it on. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think people's expectations for comedians are so low that displaying a public-facing inherent decency, that was all I had to do to clear. It was a low bar to clear. I think there are many lovely and kind stand-up comedians, but it's kind of there's an outlaw reputation that a lot of that comes with the job.
Well, is it more than just reputation? I mean, I wonder if just being nasty and as crass and as shocking as possible, if that's a hard image to crack, if we've come to expect that of comedy and anything less is not funny.
I think there is kind of that expectation, and there are a lot of people that do that really well. And I'm not squeaky clean across the board on stage, but I think I kind of get away with a lot because my vibe is very friendly and not at all aggressive.
And it works.
So I think – excuse me?
Yeah, no, go ahead. Finish.
Oh, I was just going to say, so I think it goes down easier just because I'm smiling as opposed to cringing.
And I think part of that is your persona. I mean, you show up on stage, you have a certain way of your own cadence. I mean, all of that kind of works together. And then I'm wondering how that works, writing for yourself as a persona, and then a show like Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, having to put your words in someone else's mouth, how that's different, or is it?
It is a little different. I really enjoy the challenge of it, though, and it helps that I really respect and enjoy and admire John's comedy inside and outside the show. So it's a pleasure to get to be a part of, and it's a nice challenge to get to try to wrap my head around. Although I think on the spectrum of comedic voices, I think we are more similar than we are different. You know, I could be writing for someone that's further afield from my own taste. And so I'm very fortunate to get to write for somebody whose work I like and go, I think I know how to do this. Obviously, I wouldn't presume to be as kind of brilliant and insightful as John is, but I think that I can create a version of it along with the other writers.
Well, let's hear what that might sound like.
And let us begin with our first and only story, the 2016 election. Or, as you may know it, I thought I wanted it to be over, but now that it's over, I wish it was still going on, because it turns out the ending is even worse, 2016. The results on Tuesday were a little different than what just over half the voters wanted. America proved that no grandpa is too racist to become leader of the free world. Look, Papa, someday that could be you. Now, if you're like me, the implications of this have been hitting you in waves. One minute you're numb, and the next minute you realize that Donald Trump, this man, will soon have access to the nuclear codes. And then maybe you get distracted by daily life until it hits you again. Oh, our future president was supported by a former Grand Wizard of the Klan, and 60 million people voted for him despite that. And then maybe you finally manage to get some sleep, but then you wake up realizing, oh, shit, the Supreme Court.
That's a clip from the HBO show Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. My guest today is Josh Gondelman, who's one of the show's staff writers. Going to be in North Carolina this weekend with performances in Chapel Hill and Asheville. How do you get a gig like that, writing for that show?
Oh, it's kind of a long, boring process. But it was a lot of stand-up combined with a lot of kind of freelance magazine writing. And then some social media kind of notoriety, and that all got me the opportunity to start submitting to write for television shows. So it was then a lot of failing, and then a lot of failing, and then a lot of failing. And then this one seemed to line up nicely. So it's writing submission materials and just kind of the body of work that got me in that room.
What is it like to work with political comedy in this climate?
It was increasingly intense, I will say, over the course of the year. And fortunately, for my own kind of sanity and well-being, I've been out of the office for a few weeks touring. So I'm excited to step away from it, writing politically for a couple of months, and then kind of look at it with fresher eyes when I come back in January to the office.
Yeah, but does it do that? I mean, have you sort of gone in waves like that where you think, this is not funny?
Yeah, there are definitely times where I'm like, well, this is bad. This is not. And there are things that are almost too over the top and overwhelming to try to find the angle on writing a joke on.
Let's talk about something else. You co-created the Twitter account Seinfeld Today. And first of all, you should tell us what that is for those of us who don't know what Seinfeld Today is, and then how you got to doing that.
Of course. It was really funny. So the idea of it is it's a Twitter account. Should I go back further in case people don't know what Twitter is?
So we'll start with the internet. We'll start with Al Gore and then – no, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Twitter is an inconvenient truth. That's, I think.
Well done.
Thank you. So @Seinfeld Today, our modern Seinfeld, is a Twitter account where my friend Jack Moore and I wrote it, and still occasionally we'll dip our toes, but it's Seinfeld plot lines that we imagine would be on the show if it were to still exist in the present day. So the idea is, like, Seinfeld was so much about the minutiae of tone and communication, and there are so many opportunities for miscommunication and accidents of tone in the present day that didn't exist when the show went off the air at the end of the 90s.
And also, the technology. I mean, half of the fun is trying to imagine a Seinfeld sketch in the face of today's technology, things that couldn't possibly have happened.
Absolutely. Even just the idea of email, which was kind of like not a commonplace thing that everyone dealt with every day, whereas now we carry email in our pocket. So there are just so many more little nuances of daily behavior, or at least different ones than there were when the show was on the air. So that's fun to think about. Like, even just George pretending to send a BCC email a reply email as a reply all, so that his whole company sees it, in an attempt to get fired on purpose, and then his boss thinking that's a really gutsy move and promoting him. So that's like the kind of thing that, you know, wasn't necessarily going to happen, or was at an easily digestible series of events in the public consciousness in 1997. But now it's like, oh yeah, I could see that happening.
Well, and the other cool thing about this is, because it is on social media, it's participatory. So everybody gets to be kind of a Seinfeld writer in 2016.
Yeah. And I even have, you know, friends in and outside of comedy who will email me stuff. And it's like sweet and kind of a thrill to do something that resonates with people. It's always nice when something that you really like and enjoy is just kind of, either whether it's something you spend a lot of time on or something you spend a little time on, but just feel enthusiasm towards, that other people get into it too.
What about the art of comedy in 140 characters?
I like it, especially for the – I like Twitter in general for comedy, but I like it for the modern Seinfeld because it's a lot – easier. It really cuts down, like, writing a Seinfeld script is really hard. Those writers were brilliant and did a lot of brilliant work, but it's much, much easier to just come up with an A story, you know, the main plot line, and then maybe a B story for one of the other characters, and squeeze it into 140 characters in one tweet. And then you go, well, I can walk away from that, and it was a successful tweet.
Well, and you've got the setup, right? Because nobody in the known world has not seen Seinfeld. And so there's your setup. That part's done. Now I just need the punchline, I guess.
Absolutely. I think that you really only need half of a joke on Twitter a lot of the time, whether it's a setup or a punchline.
I think that well describes Twitter. It's half a joke. So you released a digital comedy album earlier this year called Physical Whisper. I've got a clip from that, actually, and I'd like to hear a clip from that album.
Every Please. Groomsman speech I've ever witnessed may as well have been delivered by the groom's worst enemy on planet Earth. Every single dude's just like, hey, Maddie!
Fat Matt. Dr. Shock. See, we call him that because one time in elementary school, he shit his pants while he was fighting. Nah. Remember that? I know you do. The doctor's in. Anyways, I never thought you was going to be married. I swear to God, I never thought you'd get married. I always assumed you would have died years ago having sex with a cantaloupe in microwave. That's just what I thought was going to happen. What, you said, be honest. I'm talking from the heart. Shut up, Fitzy. Let me finish. Anyways. None of this even makes sense to me. Seriously, your chick is way too hot for you. I was trying to throw it in until I got you saved the day. What? Matthew, I didn't realize you were that serious, and that's a compliment, so shut up and let me finish, because I'm being nice. Can you believe this f***ing guy? Anyways. I don't know whether you got, like, a cage you keep this woman in at night, or, like, some kind of financial arrangement that makes it difficult for her to flee you, but... Either way, bro, you locked it down, so congratulations, no homo, where the bridesmaids at? And that's every groomsman speech I've ever seen. And every single time I'm just like, that guy's the best man. That's the best one you've ever met.
That's a clip from comedian Josh Gondelman from his new stand-up album, Physical Whisper. Going to be in North Carolina this weekend for performances in Chapel Hill and Asheville, and we've got that at our website, stateofthings.org. You nailed it, man, because I hate weddings just for that reason, although there are many reasons to hate weddings, but those speeches, and the bridesmaid is even worse, especially if she's related to the bride, like if she's her sister. They're terrible. They just make you...
Oh, yeah. I was on a run of weddings, though, where all the bridesmaids were like... At least they're very thoughtful or brief. And all the groomsmen just went on and on and on with just a highlight reel of the groom's worst moments of his life. And it's like, man, his grandmother's here. What are we doing?
That's right. Well, the bridesmaid, when they're related, is really like, if it's your sister, you know, she was she was always the prettiest and you always had the best grades and you even married Alan, who I'm still in love with. But, you know, it's like, oh, my God, please stop talking.
There's much more jealousy. That's where those tend to go off the rails when they're bad. Kind of like a lot of backhanded compliments. Oof. But the groomsmen speeches are all just front-handed insults.
That's right. Well, you nailed it. You nailed it. I just laugh
Thank you very much.
Over and over every time I listen to that, and I'm going to play it at the next wedding I go to. Like, I'm going to put earbuds in instead of listening to that because it's going to be much better. What about doing stand-up? I mean, that is a whole different thing than comedy writing, I would think. Is it?
It is, yeah, because then you have to go out and do it, which I like. That's one thing that it kind of appeals to the way I process feedback and enjoy work, which is that I can write a joke and then I can put it on stage sometimes twice in a night, sometimes three times, sometimes just once. And then I go, is it good? Now I know whether it's good or needs work or whether I want to try it again or I messed it up. And I really like that element of it. I like the tinkering. And I like the kind of immediate feedback and chance to adjust and kind of like learn on my feet.
I am talking to comedian Josh Gondelman today on The State of Things. It's going to be at a couple places in North Carolina, including Chapel Hill and Asheville. And we've got the information on our website, stateofthings.org. You know, you talked about that tinkering, kind of getting feedback and then you know, adjusting the material based on the feedback. But you talk about an attitude toward comedy, which you say is keeping your eyes on your own paper. And I found that interesting, the idea that you're not adjusting your comedy to what worked for somebody else.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's great to be inspired by other people. But I mean, this is a lesson that's been passed down to me from other comics, is like when you're comparing your career to other people or your material, you know, comparing your career to other people specifically, it doesn't help you because you're only doing what you can do for yourself. Like you're not anyone else and you don't have necessarily the same opportunities or the same skill set as anyone else. So I think it's really helpful for me to just think about making work that I can try to stand behind and I feel really good about putting into the world or saying on stage, like stuff that I'm happy to communicate to people on a night-by-night basis.
You recently co-published the book You Blew It, An Awkward Look at the Many Ways in Which You've Already Ruined Your Life. Tell us more about the premise of that one.
So the idea, I wrote it with my friend Joe Berkowitz, who's a really funny, and his next book is coming out next summer, I guess. I guess it's a ways off. It just went up for pre-sale. But he's brilliant and wonderful. And so we co-wrote this book about kind of all the little picky, almost Seinfeldian etiquette mistakes that people make and how you're making them all the time and how it's not really that big a deal. Like, you're ruining your life at every moment, but you rarely ruin it all the way.
But you can keep trying.
Yo, certainly. And you can adjust. I think that there are so many things, even, you know, an elevator ride or a text message exchange. If you're anything like me, you overthink things before you do them and then you rethink them after you do them. But it helps me to realize, like, you can just let it go. Like, it's fine that you did it wrong and you definitely did it wrong, but that's okay.
Give us an example.
So in my own life, like, I'll often send an email, like, I'll email like I'm talking to someone in person. So someone will send me a long, thoughtful email, and then I will send back the one-sentence response that is the only information they require, which is, like, brutal, right? And then I remember the feeling of that. Like, if I wrote somebody a four-paragraph email and they wrote back, cool, thanks, see you tonight, I would be like, oh, they're mad at me, they don't want to see me tonight. And so I have to remember, like, either I can adjust for that and write back, of course, very excited about this whole project. Sorry to be so curt. I'm getting on the train and I just wanted you to know that I saw your message. Or I can go, you know, I'm a human. They're a human. They'll get it.
There's another email in their inbox just waiting to insult them even more.
Yeah. Oh, certainly. I doubt that I write the most insulting emails that most people receive on a daily basis.
Josh, what a pleasure. Thanks for talking with us.
It was a blast. Thanks, Frank.
Josh Gondelman. You can see him perform at DSI Comedy Theater in Chapel Hill tomorrow night at 8:30. Going to be at the Mill Room in Asheville on Saturday at 8 o'clock. And we've got the details for both of those visits at our website, stateofthings.org. And you could be a part of our show if you had a driveway moment, a segment that you really appreciated on the State of Things. We'd like to put you on the air and have you talk about it as our year in review gets underway. So send us an email at sot@wnc.org or hashtag SOT moments to submit your favorite and perhaps be on the show at the end of the year. We're happy to hear from you. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.